Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us. Monday afternoon, a rainy start to a Monday afternoon, but we're glad you're here. Feels like fall. I'm happy about that. I'm happy that it is fall. You prefer fall, don't you?
I do.
Isn't that your fave?
I love fall.
Your fave? What's your fave?
I'm still summer, but fall's probably my second favorite.
I love fall. I love the timing of fall. I'd prefer summer all the time, but the timing of fall, it's like, okay, once you've committed to it, it's okay. Of course, we're 43 days away from the election. So we are very, very close to wrapping this thing up and having a conclusion. I don't know how quickly we'll get that conclusion. But in just 43 days, we will be celebrating Election Day, observing Election Day, mourning Election Day. Kind of just depends on who you are.
I don't think we'll be really doing any of those things on Election Day. You know, it's probably the day after that we'll be doing some of those things.
Well, no, I think Election Day is a fantastic day. It's one of my favorite days.
Observing.
You don't celebrate the fact that we have an Election Day?
I don't know that I celebrate. I do observe Election Day.
You'll have to join me this year. It's fun.
Bring your streamers and stuff.
I don't need to do that. I just go vote, and I celebrate the fact that we get to do that. I'm excited about it. There are going to be several things that are going to obviously occur between now and then. The question is, how much will it affect the outcome? I could say polls, but I don't care for the polls, because if you open an article, it's like such and such has come out with their endorsement for one of the presidential candidates. And then your entire mood can be determined by when you click on the headline that they got you to click on, and you look at the story and you're like, yes, it's Trump. See, I knew it. Oh, no, it's Harris. He's going to lose. One thing like that shouldn't make that big of a difference. One thing that could change a little bit of the course of where people feel affirmed or dissuaded is the debates. We're going to have a vice presidential debate a week from tomorrow. And we're going to, gosh, I'm looking forward to J.D. Vance so much. He's so good. It's funny to think about how rocky of a start he had coming out just because this rando governor from Minnesota called him weird. And everyone's like, yeah, he's weird. And then Kamala Harris is like, make him my VP partner in this ticket. And then everyone's like, Tim Walz is really weird. It's a weird cycle that we went through there, and it was a matter of just like 20, 30 days. So we're going to get that VP debate. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But now we have talk of another debate between the presidential candidates, to which Donald Trump has said, absolutely not. Here's what Kamala Harris says about it.
Join me on the debate stage. Let's have another debate. There's more to talk about, and the voters of America deserve to hear the conversations that I think we should be having on substance, on issues, on policies. What's your plan? What's my plan? And we should have another one before Election Day.
I guess the only way we find out what her, what did she say? Substance, plan, and policies. Her triplicate, which is how she speaks. She says the same thing over and over and over again. Over and over and over. Yep, three times.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm learning. Everything she says, she could say a third less. And say the same thing, which would still be nothing. Is it a threat that we have to have another debate in order to hear what she wants to do? Is there nothing that she can do on her own without Donald Trump joining her on the debate stage to, I don't know, tell us what her plans and substance and policies are before the actual Election Day occurs in 43 days? Her, why don't you debate me, Woody, you chicken? Bawk, 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 bawk. Like, Donald Trump's like, no, I'm not debating you. You can do whatever you want. I'm not debating you. And he shouldn't debate her. There's nothing to be gained by Donald Trump. I don't know that Kamala Harris is really going to do herself that big of a service by debating once again. She's really bad at it. It might be what she's best at, though. So in a relative conversation, of all of the things that Kamala Harris does terribly, she does debating less terribly than the other things because she can speak a little more clearly when she's rehearsed herself enough and speaks in triplicate with grace and ease without saying a gosh darn thing. Donald Trump is right to say no.
This is just kind of hitting me, and I don't know if this is really off the mark here, but one of the things that I think she could do is explain her policy positions outside of a debate. Like, she could do a press conference or something where she could talk to the American people.
I wish she would, so Fox News would stop sending me countdown or count up alerts.
Me too. Me too. But she hasn't. She hasn't done a press conference. And the problem is that the more I see those same alerts from Fox News that you're going, yeah, she still hasn't done one, which is true. They should continue to ask those questions. The more I think, if she does a press conference, it'll look a lot like the ones Joe Biden did, where they already have the people, they have questions ahead of time.
That doesn't make her look good, though.
No.
America is wise to that.
I hope so.
If she comes out and does a Biden, they are, because groceries are outrageous. Gas is unaffordable. Savings accounts are going down. Credit card debt is going up. Statistically provable. That's what people care about. And she can come out and say platitudes once, maybe twice. But when that's all she has, there are American people who are like, listen, Donald Trump's not my favorite guy. I don't want to have to defend Donald Trump. I don't want to have to go out and say why Donald Trump is the greatest grandpa who has ever grandpa'd. That's not what people want to do. But they also don't want to defend Kamala Harris because she's indefensible. She offers nothing other than the fact that she's not the guy on the other side of the ballot who will actually make the economy great again, who will make you feel as though you are prospering in the United States of America. And yeah, he'll do Donald Trump things along the way. Her policy is that she's not Trump. She's not going to change that.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why she wants to do a debate. I think it's a good talking point for her, too. She can come out and say, well, I'm big on democracy, and I like delivering to the people, even though we know that she's done like a fifth of the interviews that Donald Trump has done in the last couple months. But I wonder if the reason she's doing that is because her entire campaign really is predicated on I am not Donald Trump. And she can make that point clearer when she's standing next to Donald Trump.
I think that, I mean, it's obvious that that is what her campaign is I am not Donald Trump. But the other side of that is, too, is she is the machine candidate. She didn't receive any votes in a primary. Whenever she did run for president, she didn't get it. She was installed into that position via promotion by Joe, basically. Once the machine decided, Joe's not going to cut it. He's going to lose. Let's get somebody else in there. It's obvious to me that what they want to do with her is they want to put her up there as a placeholder. She won't be in charge of anything. She can't be in charge of anything. She's just going on and on and on with word salad and anything like that. She has never demonstrated that she has a solid grasp of any of the concepts that she's trying to explain or wants to be in charge of. They're like, we have our Susan Rices. We have our different people in these positions that will take care of policy. They'll do it. You don't need to know who they are. And you people don't even need to know who's making the decisions because you're not smart enough to understand it anyway. We've got this. Just put our candidate in there so that we can take care of it. She's the machine candidate.
Here's the New York Times and MSNBC talking about Kamala doing interviews.
It's not too much to ask Kamala, say, are you for a Palestinian state if Hamas is going to run that state?
Okay.
Yes or no?
And let's say you don't like her answer. Are you going to vote for Donald Trump?
No, I'm not.
Kamala
I just
Harris
said I'm not going to vote for her.
Is not running for perfect. She's running against Trump. We have two choices. And so there are some things you might not know her answer to. And in 2024, unlike 2016 for a lot of the American people, we know exactly what Trump will do, who he is, and the kind of threat he is to democracy.
I don't know.
So it's unclear to me how there could be an informed.
The problem that a lot of people have with Kamala is we don't know her answer to anything, okay?
But you know
and
his
I think
answer
I
to everything.
That's, and that's why I would never vote for him, and people shouldn't vote for him. But people also are expected to have some idea of what the program is of the person you're supposed to vote for.
So, I mean, you're basically listening to Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC making the argument that, listen, the other guy on the ticket's a two-person choice. The other guy on the ticket is Trump, and we know what he's going to do. Vote for Kamala. If that's the mentality, which it is, of the Harris campaign, why would she do interviews? Why would they advocate for her to do a debate?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's the only reason is because then you have her standing there usually saying some rehearsed lines against Donald Trump to bait him. Basically stuff that's going to make the base go, yeah, finally somebody who's getting him back because they know Biden didn't. But I just don't. It bothers me when I hear clips like that because it is true. Like what she's saying is true. This is a binary choice. You can vote third party, but that party, that candidate's not going to win. This is a binary choice. I get that. But when you say things like, we saw him for 4 years and all of the havoc he wreaked on the country and the threat he is to democracy. And nobody pushes back on that at all. Nobody asks, what is the threat on democracy that he is?
They say January 6th.
They just say January 6th. But if that's it, like I just don't think that's a winning argument if you drill down a little bit.
I mean, it is for them. They think that he tried to overthrow government.
That was the stupidest looking coup I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I mean, Donald Trump's even, or people around him have even said, like, if I would have told them to do it, it would have gone differently. And the other thing, which a point that I've making here on, I've made here on a regular basis since it happened, is that the storming of the Capitol, the way that that happened, especially considering there are people who were let in to do it, actually is the thing that stopped the process. The challenging of the slate of electors, the people in Congress who were willing to stand up and delay this process on January 6th. That's why everybody was there, because Congress was about to certify the elections. There's a way in which you can challenge those. That was going to happen. The reason it didn't happen is because people went into the Capitol. So the fact that people went into the Capitol actually stopped the process that could have potentially, you know, the way I look at it, put an actual finite period on the end of the sentence about electors, challenging slates of electors, challenging the election. I wish we could have gone through the natural course of the process that is laid out in the Constitution. Should you want to challenge, like, there's a process laid out in the Constitution for this. We could have gone through that process, but we have this, like, hanging chad, this ending. You know, if you've ever gone to a movie and it doesn't end with a conclusion and you're like, what the heck was that? You need to know. We didn't get the conclusion, which very well could have and would have ended up with Joe Biden becoming the president of the United States, as he did when Donald Trump left office on the day that that Joe Biden was inaugurated. He did not fail to leave office. Joe Biden has been the president. That's indicative of the disaster area that the United States has become in his presidency, along with Kamala Harris. But people going into the Capitol the way they did hindered Donald Trump's ability to challenge the election. It didn't make it easier for him to overthrow anything. It actually was hurtful, which that in conjunction with people being let into the Capitol and in conjunction with the lack of answers and response that the American people have about why the National Guard was refused by Nancy Pelosi, why there wasn't more security provided when Donald Trump said, hey, we should probably have more security, there's going to be a lot of people here, why we don't understand the full role of what the feds were doing in the process there on that day. Like, there's a lot of questions that have never been answered. And the process of people going into the Capitol actually stopped the process of decertifying the election. The air quotes insurrection hurt Donald Trump politically and help the left. Why do we never talk about that? And if the people going into the Capitol, if the people facilitating that, opening the doors and letting people in, actually stop the constitutional process of certifying or decertifying, depending on how the process lays out, if that air quotes insurrection of people casually walking through the Capitol stop that decertification or certification process, then maybe it did become a threat to democracy against Donald Trump. Maybe. So maybe there is a threat to democracy, but maybe we've been looking in all the wrong places. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, what did P. Diddy do? Do you want to know? Yes, you want to know all of it. Yes, but you want to know the bare minimum. No, you don't want to know any of it. Or no, you don't care. I'm kind of surprised at how many people don't care at all. I can understand not really wanting to know the details, especially when you scratch the very, very the very surface of the whole thing, being like, I don't want to know any more of that. But I do think that this is one that we should care about. Let's discuss and see what Brad and Ryan think about it when we come back. And I'm floating between two answers here. I thought I was definitely in one, but I might be in a different one. Let's discuss. Give us some of your comments as well on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Gotta make this dirt rock glow.
Just so you know. Light shines bright everywhere. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Michael's Flooring Outlet online at igotfloor.com. If you're shopping for flooring, check out our friends, our partners at Michael's Flooring Outlet. Remember, when you shop at Michael's Flooring Outlet, when you give them the chance to earn your business, you are supporting the Annie Fry Show. You're supporting 97.1 FM Talk because we are in partnership with Michael's Flooring Outlet. They have great brands. They have the Smart Strand Mohawk Silk line of carpeting. They have the RevWood Select and Plus and the TechWood Select and Plus line of beautiful hardwood looking flooring. You are in the best hands at Michael's Flooring Outlet when it comes to understanding value and quality at the same time and not having to sacrifice on either end of that. And the sales staff at Michael's Flooring Outlet, they know how to treat you. They know how to help you feel educated so that you're making an intelligent decision about your home. And they also respect your hard-earned dollar. When you go online and look at igotfloor.com, you're going to see the ability to request an estimate right there at the top of the page. And you can also read through reviews of people, the many, many people in the St. Louis Bi-State area who have utilized Michael's Flooring Outlet for their flooring purchases online at igotfloor.com.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, it's time to take charge of your health with my friends at Victory Men's Health. Mark Cox here. I already love what they do at Victory. They do hormone optimization, sexual health, weight loss, even vitamin deficiencies. Now they're offering specialty cardiovascular testing and even early detection cancer screening. Visit them at one of their four great locations, now in Sunset Hills, Town and Country, O'Fallon, Missouri, and O'Fallon, Illinois. Tell them Mark Cox sent you. Go to victorymenshealth.com.
You know Diamonds Direct for their exquisite diamonds and fine jewelry. What about luxury watches? With a hand-picked collection by the industry's top timepiece experts, skip the waiting list and get the timepiece you've been eyeing right away. And this month only, enjoy 0% interest for 5 years on all the top brands. Imagine owning a $15,000 luxury watch for just $250 a month. Spread your payments over 5 years with zero interest on approved credit. Diamonds Direct, where you can shop direct for diamonds and watches.
Hi, Charles Pan here at one of the exciting Money Show events where I'm presenting the keynote, broadcasting my live TV show, and best of all, giving away free copies of my newest book, Unbreakable Investor. It's a $29.95 value, but if you act now, I'll give you one too.
For your free copy of Charles Payne's new book, Unbreakable Investor, text CASH to 505-505 and just cover shipping. Text CASH to 505-505. Text CASH to 505-505.
I'm handing you my investing playbook, 348 pages on how I personally invest to target the biggest returns while mitigating risk. It's how I've been with the market, so I never break. Guidance so crucial for today's investors that I'm covering the cost of the book and giving you a copy for free.
To get your free copy of Charles Payne's new book, Unbreakable Investor, text the word CASH to 505-505 and just cover shipping. Text CASH to 505-505 while supplies last. Text CASH to 505-505 right now.
Attention, Missouri residents in need of care at home. If you have Medicaid and need assistance with daily activities, you can receive free in-home care from a loved one, funded by Medicaid with no cost to you. Freedom Care, Missouri's number one home care provider, gives you the power to choose who provides your care, and they get paid instantly. Imagine your daughter, son, a close relative, or trusted friend helping you with cooking, transportation, laundry, and other activities in your own home. You get the help you need, and your caregiver gets paid instantly after their shift. Freedom Care has over 5,000 five-star Google reviews and is number one in Missouri for in-home care. If you have Medicaid and want great care from a loved one that's 100% free to you, go to freedomcare.com or call 314-557-3027. That's 314-557-3027. 314-557-3027.
Freedom Care, we're here for you.
You're
listening to the Annie Fry Show live from the Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Insulation Studio. Fall weather is on its way. Time to schedule your heating system check to make sure you heat your home safely. Schedule your heating system check today at aircomfortservice.com.
If you use a smart speaker, you can listen to 97.1 easier than ever. Just tell it to play 97.1 FM Talk. Or download the Odyssey app for your phone and stream the station whenever, wherever.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Hey, Fidel, yes. I know we rap like them, but a little different. Like we sounded like, but very different, like a harmony. I took advice from my daddy and my mama. They say, boy, this world can be kind of cold, but you create energy depending on what kind of cold.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Let's see here. This is a clip from a while ago. I don't have the year on it, but it was when Ellen was still on television, and Diddy went on the Ellen show, and they had this conversation.
I invite you to all my parties. You just haven't seemed to show up.
I could think of you of starting a party at like midnight.
That's a different type of party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean the after party.
Mm-hmm. No, I know about them.
There are so many instances in pop culture about Diddy parties, about people who know about them, who are aware of them, who avoid them, who have celebrated being at them. What was the Eminem thing that you guys were talking about before?
Oh, do you have it? It's a quote from one of his songs.
It's the lyrics in one of his songs, and he said, I'm a rapper, R-A-P-E-R. Did he just spell rapper without one P? Or he just spelled rapper with missing one P, Diddy.
Yeah. So what is rapper without a P? So it's... He was taking a shot at P. Diddy.
You don't need to explain it to us. I think we get it.
Well, I don't know as much about the rap history as Will Scharf does.
Nobody does. That dude is on it. He's like, I was in New York in the 90s.
That was amazing.
It's what we knew. Yes, if you missed the opportunity to hear Will Scharf, he was with us in the entire 1 o'clock hour, and we talked about the tragic death of the police officer here in St. Louis, Officer David Lee, 44 years old, hit on Interstate 70 while he was helping with a crash. He was putting cones out. And the person who hit him, his name is Ramon A. Chavez Rodriguez. And if you haven't heard, go back and listen to what Will Scharf dug into about his history. He's here illegally from Honduras. And he goes through the really, really awful incident. It was 2020 when it took place, where he broke into his, girlfriend's house, beat down her door, stole her baby, was drunk the whole time. And somehow or another, this man has been out and about.
Yeah, almost killed the girlfriend, almost ran her over. And then 2 days after that, he was just out. And then nothing ever happened to the guy.
It's very wild. So we're going to find out more about that story, as we should, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Officer David Lee's family. It's just an incredibly unnecessary, tragic incident. And St. Louis has lost one of its best in Officer David Lee. We're going through all of these different conversations with Will Scharf, and we put the P. Diddy stuff off to the end because we wanted to talk about David Lee, and we wanted to talk about Ruth, who is going to stay in jail right now while they're figuring out what to do with him in Florida. But the last thing we talked about with him, it was probably about 1:40 is when we started the conversation, might have been a little bit after that, was about P. Diddy and what is going on with him legally. And he gave us a very thorough and concise explanation of P. Diddy's history in the rap wars and rap culture, and then brought us up to present. It was spot on. I didn't know that's what we were going to get out of him, and I loved it.
And all of the legal trouble that he's had and kind of skated around up until now.
Which I think is what makes this so interesting in 2024, because we're constantly wondering who is and who is not above the law. And it appears as though P. Diddy has felt above the law for quite some time, and maybe isn't right now. He's apparently on suicide watch. Our YouTube poll for today is, what did Diddy do? Do you want to know? Yes, you want to know all of it. Yes, but the bare minimum, no, you don't want to know, or no, you don't care. And I said earlier, and I'll repeat this, I'm kind of shocked at the amount, the percentage of people. We're pushing 300 votes. It's getting close to 300 votes on the poll today. The percentage of people who say they don't care.
Really? What,
where are you? Maybe you guys don't care.
No, I care. I have a weird answer to this poll because I personally don't want to know. I'm a no. I don't want to dive into it.
But do you want it to be known?
But I do want it to be known. So I'm going to personally say no while still hoping that, you know, especially if there's really gross stuff, not just like between consenting adults. That stuff is salacious. That's headline. That's TMZ stuff. It's the illegal stuff that I really hope does come out. And if it's going to break something open bigger, then more power to the justice, more power for the right side to win on this thing.
There's a huge difference between the sexual details that don't make the crime, like knowing the details doesn't make the understanding or the knowledge or the truth being out. That's how Kamala Harris would say it. That wouldn't make that more egregious. But the broadness of how it's covered will make more people aware of it.
Yes, absolutely.
So when the details come out and they're heinous, and what we already know is pretty heinous.
Yeah.
What has been alleged, I guess, is the right way to say that. I mean, I've seen video of him beating the crap out of that one girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's been out there. But when the details come out and they're really awful, it does broaden awareness. I want to trust somebody to do the deep dive and to know the things so that I don't want to have to, I don't need to see the stuff.
Because, exactly.
Because from what I understand, it's awful. Where are you at on it, Brad?
Well, after you said that, I'm still a yes, all of it. I want to know all the details. I want to know in clearest possible terms who was involved, why was it illegal, what were they doing, who was linked to it, who was in charge.
Sounds like me and Stinkbugs.
Yeah. I want to know all the things. I want to know everything so that we can understand if it was just crazy sex party, hookery stuff going on, fine. Then we know that it wasn't anything bigger, more nefarious than that.
That wouldn't surprise any of us that people in Hollywood are having, like, way off of our radar, our understanding of life, parties, but not in an illegal fashion.
Right. But if there's illegal stuff going on, we're talking about, you know, underage
kids.
People. You're talking about influence of powerful people who then now have videotapes of them that could be manipulated to affect even something as serious as public policy. I want to know these things. Or I want to know that it wasn't that. I want to know the truth so that I know whether or not we can trust what's going on or we can't trust what's going on.
There is a sense that I don't want to see the stuff. But even if it's not illegal, these are still some of the most powerful people in the world as far as shaping culture, shaping the way we view things.
They tell us how to live our lives.
Exactly.
They tell us how to vote. They tell us what to spend money on. They tell us what not to spend money on, what not to support.
And if these people are like regularly jumping into flesh piles with baby oil and it's Gomorrah, I think that we would be better off knowing that. Not necessarily I don't watch it, but I want to know that that's happening.
Right.
Because I want to know who. I saw a random post on Twitter this weekend said, hey, can you drop celebrities do you think were not involved in this? Like, is there anybody you can think of? I'll start with one. Keanu Reeves. You know?
And so, I went through that whole post. I know exactly what the one.
Yeah.
And I bet there are people on that post that know things.
Mm. Yes.
That's the other question I have. How much responsibility, if you know this stuff is going on, and we're drawing the line, we're setting aside things that we morally disagree with, putting that over here, reserving my right to morally disagree with it and have my own personal judgment on that kind of behavior. It exists, but that's over here for this conversation. It's not a part of this conversation. If there are underage people involved in inappropriate acts, I want you to be exposed in the most public, embarrassing way, and I want all the books to be thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew that was going on in Hollywood, if you were aware, do you have an obligation to say something? There are a lot of allegations that exist in this wormhole, this deep dive of people talking about it, that there are people who have gone to make this be aware or be known, and those people end up dead. And if that's the case, I mean, like, if the allegations out there that are not, well, I don't even know that you would say that they are not part of the original charges, because I think more charges could be coming towards Kanye or to other people. But the most heinous things that you could think of may fit in the charges. We haven't seen all the evidence, that he hasn't gone on trial yet.
You're talking about Diddy.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I mean, the things that we've heard about underage people, I mean, we know for a fact P. Diddy had a very close relationship of some kind with Justin Bieber when he was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he have a very close relationship with Usher
too,
when he was a minor? I mean, that's like known.
It was like I think it was almost like a guardianship.
Yes. It's creepy. It's weird.
It is.
It doesn't make sense. And if you apply Occam's razor to all of these things, like what's the most obvious thing to be true, it's awful. It's awful. The easy assumptions to make, the ones that are the simple conclusions to arrive at, the ones that don't require you to go in deep dives and, you know, you're
right,
not putting all of these things together, which a lot of people are trying to do right now, is very bad in conjunction with the things that Diddy has been charged with. I think that all of this stuff needs to be made explicitly clear to the American consumer. And it needs to, I mean, I don't want my kids to know about this stuff, which they're going to, I mean, I hear my kids talking about Diddy parties is in the child vernacular, mm-hmm, right now.
Wow.
As a thing. Yeah. And I don't know what they know about it. And I don't want to ask him at this point, because I'm waiting to see what else comes out before it becomes a topic of conversation. If my kids came to me about it, I would absolutely have that conversation. But bringing it up to them, I don't want to pique their interest in something that hasn't been piqued yet. Like, oh, tell me more about that. But I don't want these people to have any influence on my children.
Well, the answer to your question about what responsibility would you have if you knew you weren't participating in anything, but you knew, oh, there's something going on here. Maybe you knew even in detail that there were a certain number of underage kids at this party and you knew something was going on. What's your responsibility? The problem is, and this speaks to the bigger issue of why everybody's so interested in this, if you even were a well-known person, which not everybody that could rat on him was well-known, but if you were, does it do anything? Because Will Scharf went through and talked about how many times he had gotten around legal problems. The whole issue at hand here is not just Puff Daddy. It's how much have these people gotten away with, him and many others, because they're famous.
To your point, I want to know who knew what and why you didn't say something. Was it, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to throw my career into lurch, or I didn't say anything because I was in fear for my life? Both of those are
which is another layer of, okay, well, let's talk about that.
Yes.
No kidding.
But to your question, if it's to keep your career going and you say, I'm not going to say anything because what good is it going to do? The effectiveness of you saying something is not a reason for you not to say something.
I'm not saying to keep your career going.
Right. But I mean, even if you think it's not going to do me any good to say anything, you should still say something because it's the right thing to do. You shouldn't let that go.
I agree.
And whenever you do that, everybody's waiting for somebody else to be the first person to step out and say something. When you're the first person to step out and say something, there will be others that come forward.
But
especially,
we have had that, though, in Hollywood. How many times have, like, the Corey Feldmans of the world come out and started talking about how ridiculous, especially, it is to kids? And man, is it Amanda Bynes?
Oh,
have
man.
You, like, I don't, there's a lot going on there, but if you go look at kid after kid after kid after kid who has gone into Hollywood, had very great success and fame, 20, 30 years later, when they are in a position to have first of all, a lot of them are like, I'm going to go be an accountant in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
They get the heck out of there. And I always wonder how much of that is parents going, you had great success, we came in without any knowledge, and we are getting you out of here as fast as we can. I really wonder you know, we joke about a lot about, we got a break here too, but we joke a lot about my middle school affection for JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. He was such a big deal in that as a child actor. He was, of course, on Home Improvement. And I don't know anything about anything. I'm just putting this out here as an example of things that make me go, hmm. He did Lion King. He was Simba in The Lion King. Huge deal for him. He got a lot of Disney movies and stuff, a Disney connection. But then he decided he wanted to go to like an Ivy League school in New York and get some like high level degrees. And then he kind of went away. And I just remember thinking, like, everybody loves you. Like, you're at the top. This is what every, because I was a kid and I was stupid, but like, this is what everybody wants. Everybody wants to be famous and to be in movies and television shows where you're making tons of money and everybody celebrates you. And then you got a guy like that who's like, I think I'd just rather go to school. It didn't make sense to me. Now, in this instance, maybe that's just what he wanted to do. And there was a completely logical explanation for that. But there are other kid actors who have gone, nope, I'm out. Macaulay Culkin. He's got stories of when he was on Home Alone of inappropriate things taking place.
Gosh,
in
how
front of him.
Sick is that? That is so sick.
And the more cases that you hear being talked about from kid to kid to kid to kid, it's clear that there is an understanding or an expectation in Hollywood that does not exist in Fenton or Godfrey or whatever. Like, there is something that goes on there. That even if it's jokes, even if it's just kind of a crass way of talking, oh, well, they're kids in a grown person's world. Mm-hmm. These things happen around them, but it's not really to them. That's not the story of a lot of these young people who are there. And it really, really gets under my skin how much, at least up until COVID, we have been beholden to their very preachy ways of telling us how to live and what to do.
Yeah, and this isn't something that was just happening in the 80s to Corey Feldman and Corey Haim and stuff. This is happening right up until now. The movie this year, Quiet on the Set, Dark Side of Kids TV.
Was that the Nickelodeon?
Nickelodeon documentary about, it says, Dan Schneider.
Yeah. I've heard. Is that include Amanda Bynes?
Yes.
It probably does because she was in that era of Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, I'm not as much familiar with Nickelodeon stuff, and I'm honestly not familiar with Disney stuff. We didn't have cable when I was growing up at all. But all of these stories.
Yes.
It's way more consistent than it is not the case.
Yeah. This is the kid from Drake and Josh, mm-hmm. which is another show that I'm aware of, never seen. But the kid, when you see his face, you're like, oh, I've seen that kid
before.
He
was one of the kids in Big Daddy.
He was saying that he was sexually assaulted from... It's like season 3 of the show on.
It's just behavior that happens.
It's like this is the norm.
You know, remember when we were supposed to believe women?
Yeah.
Should we believe children? Especially children who have grown up to come to a place where they just start to say this stuff?
Well, they do say this stuff. But that's your point, is that they say it. It kind of goes away for a while until somebody has the chops to come out and make a documentary about it and put it out there. But
well,
it
I
takes
mean,
years.
It's, but it's before this Nickelodeon thing, people have been saying it for decades.
Exactly.
For decades and decades. Which is why I wonder, and I don't know if the P. Diddy stuff is... are we at the epicenter here? I don't know, but I want to know. So I'm somewhere between yes, all of it, but yes, but bare minimum. And I don't want to know all of it just like you, but I want it to be known. And mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a position where I'm going to be one of the people who has to know all of it. So out of duty to my profession, yes, all of it.
Yeah.
But if I were not on the air and not responsible for knowing the full story, depending and filtering it again to you is why people need to know the full truth. I'd probably say bare minimum. The YouTube live chat poll, we want to know what you think on this. Come vote. We have about 300 votes in so far, and we need to know how you want to consume this, especially from our show. If there's an overwhelming response from you guys in one way or the other, we'll spend more time on the story or maybe spend a little bit less, but we need to hear from you at the Annie Fry YouTube channel in the live chat. Of today's live broadcast, go vote. We'll be right back. Since it's only sun, Ian is to come and rescue
women and men from out they see it, trying to free you from the trap. This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
The Diamond Shop. Online at thediamondshop.net. It is coming to be that time where you need to start thinking about Christmas. 6 months, same as cash financing. at the Diamond Shop. And may I remind you that we are a mere 93 days away from Christmas. Right now, they have 60% off all lab-grown diamond jewelry. And they also have 25% off all watches. What a great gift a watch would be for that special someone, or maybe even for yourself. If you go online, you can become a VIP. It's very simple to do. If you go to thediamondshop.net, you'll just scroll there to the bottom of the page. There's a quick form that you can fill out at thediamondshop.net. Become a VIP and get access to extra savings and information that's going to help you get something absolutely stunning for a great price. Like I said, you can save on that 60% off lab-grown diamond jewelry, and they have a 10% VIP option for you on a lot of different pieces that you can save on as well. All the details that you need, you can find them in Clayton. Go in and tell them Annie said hello, but you can also find them online at thediamondshop.net.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This station is now conducting a test of the emergency alert system. This is only...
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. Sweet. This is the sound of treating yourself because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
To have a roof over your head, a nice roof over your head, is very important.
That's Rick talking about his experience with RhinoShield ceramic coating.
We got RhinoShield 18 years ago, and they're very cooperative on getting us the right paint. They're in and out and done in no time. Once it was finished, looked great. We are very happy with it.
The main reason Rick called RhinoShield is because it's backed by a 25-year transferable warranty.
We've watched a lot of people get their house painted 3 or 4 times, and we haven't had to do any of it. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to have to paint it every 5-7 years.
Take a tip from Rick and put down the paintbrush and call RhinoShield for your free evaluation. 877-25-RHINO. 877-25-RHINO. Or visit 877-25-RHINO.com.
We got RhinoShield 18 years ago. Financially makes sense, especially if it's going to last like this did. It still looks great.
Call now, 877-25-RHINO or 877-25-RHINO.com.
Don't paint, don't rhino, go RhinoShield.
Never paint your house again.
RhinoShield.
If you owe the IRS, you have a legal issue, and you need the Lance Drury Law Firm. We'll protect your rights. Log on at LanceDrurylaw.com or call us toll-free at 888-367-6512.
We're really discussing this live chat poll today. We'd like to know what you think about it. What did P. Diddy do, and do you want to know? There are four options here. Yes, you want to know all of it. Yes, but you want to know the bare minimum. No, you don't want to know. No, you don't care. There's a lot of opinions on this, so we'll give you the results here in just a couple minutes. You still have time to vote, though. You type in Annie Fry into YouTube, and it'll come up as well as the live stream. 251, this time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 furnace tune-up.
You know, I have pulled audio from KJP in the press briefing room now for 3 years, and I've heard her say some really stupid things, but maybe none more insipid than what I heard yesterday during a question with Peter Ducey. We're going to highlight that. We're off and running here right after Fox News at 3. Hang in there.
never lived the dream of the prom kings and the drama queens. I'd like to think the best of me is still hiding up my sleeve.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Inside the line.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this Monday afternoon. Didn't feel like fall today.
For the first time, it really did feel like this is not the summer because it was hot this weekend.
Yeah. Stupid hot. We went to a football game Friday night after a volleyball game got over, and we were standing out there and we're like, this is miserable.
it wasn't dumb.
It's not like if it were June 25th, you'd be like, it's June 25th.
Yeah.
This is summer. But you're standing out at a Friday night football game going, somebody, like, make some breeze or something like that.
Yeah, bring the olive branches out here.
Feed
me grapes.
Yeah. That's what I yell all the time.
That would have been nice also, but not what I was going for.
Okay.
But, yes, the cool air, I'll take it. My wardrobe is much better served for cooler temperatures anyway. I love layers and sweaters and work, especially when you come into here. It always seems like the temperature control in the office is counterintuitive to what's going on outside.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been good.
Yeah, it's been pretty good today. I'm really looking forward to wearing the long sleeves too, because I bought a bunch of new stuff in Japan in March and then came home and it was summer.
Why did you, like, what kind of stuff? Was it just because it was like you'd liked it?
Yeah, just because I liked it. Mm-hmm. And it was still, you know, that temperature there. Japan's climate is actually fairly similar to right here. And
isn't it the same latitude?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Now they have more issues. Like, they have rainy seasons and stuff because they're an island in the Pacific Ocean. But as far as temperature goes, like, it's pretty similar.
You know, we have tornadoes here. That's bad. But other than that, knock on wood.
Yeah, well, hey, we live on a fault line, though.
I know. But we've been hearing that since the big one that didn't happen in 1991 or whatever it was.
Barrels in the corner of the classroom.
Yeah, that we're going to fall into the opened earth. We'd be toast. Do you remember preparing for the earthquake?
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly what you picture, is falling. Like, a crack forms right next to you, and you're like, my chair.
What's it's like, I saw Indiana Jones. I know what happens.
This would be a good Friday poll question, but, like, what's the scariest to deal with? Tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, fires? When you watch California up in flames? Going back to what we aired with Donald Trump the other day, where Donald Trump was like, you know, we could really handle fixing the water problem here in California if the government would just let the water flow. I can't articulate it the way he did, but he had a solution for even that. What's the scariest geographical thing to experience?
I'm going to say 100-year flood.
Big flood. Like a 1993 flood?
It's scary because it's so long-lasting.
Water is scary.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch the videos, the yo-ho?
Yeah.
I watch every one of them. Yeah. There's actually a word.
No, what are you talking about?
It's this, like, super, I'm going to show them to you after the show. But they're just, like, the scariest videos of things people have experienced on the ocean with this, like, super low bassy yo-ho, all together, with the colors.
And it's just a bunch of videos?
Well, it's like ships.
I can't stop watching them.
In the open ocean with these gigantic waves
and what's
the
place way up north?
The North Pole.
North Sea, is that super scary or something like that?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to show it to you. There is a phobia word for it of being scared of the sea. I didn't know I had that, but I am obsessed and frightened at the same time. YouTube live chat poll, speaking of frightened, what did P. Diddy do? Do you want to know? 6% of you say no, you don't want to know. 15% say yes, but the bare minimum. 21% of you say you don't care at all. 1 in 5 don't care about P. Diddy, but 58% of you said yes, you want to know all of it. So we've got about 75% say, give me all the info. Well, we'll do it for you here on The Annie Fry Show, but The Mark Reardon Show is next.